Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 20th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two, we're going to welcome in our friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. We'll speak with Amy Scheid and some friends and have a good conversation. Looking forward to that. Right now, in studio, we have Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Shane, good to see you.
Good afternoon. Good to see you too, Gene.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate that. We send a big shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Thank you so much for being here. Encourage you to go to YouTube, type into your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page, and check out the amazing work that they are doing over there. We appreciate you guys. Shane, it's good to see you. Thanks for being here. How you been?
I appreciate it. Yeah, I've been doing good.
Good.
How about yourself?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it. I want to get into a couple of things with you, sir.
Okay.
Certainly, the end of your run, if you will, here. I want to talk about that. I want to get into a little bit of looking for city commissions and some things like that. But first off, I hate to do this, but I got to start in a little bit of an edge with you.
All right.
I've never been angry or jealous of you or any of these things, but I was a little bit. And Pam's with me on this because you guys landed a get. You've got at the Witter Aquatics Park Center going on this Friday from 5 to 7, Santa and Mrs. Claus. We've been trying to get them from Midday Magazine for a long time, and I cannot land that interview. But you guys got them.
Yeah, you know, Donna at Park and Rec, she's a phenomenal person over there who is making great things happen, and she landed that big account for us.
It's nice. They're very busy this time of year, so to be able to get them is very difficult. That's going to be a lot of fun. This is Santa and Mrs. Claus are heading back to Winter Park. They're going to be down there, stop by, say hi. It's going to be really fun for the kids and families.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great event, and we'll have to see how the weather does.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say this is taking place in the warming house over
there.
I don't know if you're going to need the warming house. I'm not sure, but
exactly.
You might not need it too much. Might be able to do this a little bit, have some little fun outside with this one.
Exactly.
This time of year, these kind of things, they're certainly fun and important, but they're also, they speak to the vibrance of our city, to the life in our city. And this kind of, to me, when I saw this, I smiled right away, and I thought, oh, I got a great shoe, and right away to start our interview, certainly. But more so, I thought about actually a last conversation we had about some of the projects that you're hoping to do, and one of them being lighting up the bridges and having some lights on there. And of course, this time of year, we have those lights for Christmas and everything. But you were speaking of something that is year-round, correct?
Correct. Yep. So and I've been meeting with staff, and we've been talking and discussing, kind of putting together a plan and getting some information, and ultimately get together a bid, submit that bid, and then take it to our finance committee and council to see if ultimately if they want to do the project. Yeah, it'd be kind of on the side of the bridge below the railing area. There's kind of an area, if you look on the bridges downtown, and that would be kind of, and there'd be like dome lights there, and
hope
would be, and they would be spaced however distance they need to be spaced. And then they'd be LED, and then you could hopefully have different color combinations and do some things like that.
Okay, I see. That's what I was going to ask, is the details of your idea. Okay, all right.
Yeah, you know, there's ideas where you can get lights that shine up or shine down, and we just kind of felt that downtown it'd be nice, you know, if you're standing in a park or along the riverbank, that you could see the lit bridge down the side versus having lights shine up and maybe be a distraction.
It's something that's fun. It adds to our town. It adds, again, to the life and livelihood of our town and everything. It's also one of those things, Shane, that you notice, too, and I think a lot more people are picking up on this now. This is one of those ways we attract people. This is one of the ways we keep people in town. And that's one of the biggest, you know, name of the game right now for almost any city is keeping your population and bringing new people to it.
Yeah, when I was city clerk, there's a gentleman that worked in the mayor's office, Nick Flanagan, and he was part of a leadership group. And that leadership group was the one that came up with the idea of lighting the bridge. And, you know, they put together a lot of work and a lot of information and did some fundraising, which there's money available to kind of pair in with the money that we have. But they just couldn't get it across the finish line. It was just kind of too much. And then I believe another leadership group had tried to push it across the finish line. And so really I'm trying to pick up that torch and finish what two leadership groups have attempted to try to make happen in the community.
Well, it's not my money, so I'm not trying to throw it around. Doesn't feel like it's something that's going to our city is going to be in debt for decades
Gosh,
or something like that.
No.
It's nothing that heavy, but the to me, when I look at these things, I look at the floor and the ceiling. And okay, the floor, not too bad. Not a bad budget. It doesn't have the effect we hope it does. No harm, no foul, almost. The ceiling, though, the positives that can come from something like this far outweigh anything that could talk about in the floor of it. So I think the potential is not only there, but, man, I'd love to see something like this come about. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, not to get overcomplicated on the radio, but it's in a TIF district. In the downtown TIF district, what happens is all the tax dollars collected within that TIF district, whether it be county, school district, and the city, are meant and kept in that district to be able to be utilized for projects. And there's a time frame. And so they come up with a number of years ago, they came up with a project plan, and they list kind of different projects that could be done within that TIF district, and bridge lighting was one of them. So because of that, we have funds available in that TIF account that can be used for that project. And at the end of the life of the TIF, if that money isn't being used for what it was designed for, or being allocated, that money then is redistributed back to the other jurisdictions. So, you know, if we can keep that here in the community, do a project that was outlined in that project plan with that TIF dollars and that money set aside, that's a worthwhile use.
Very interesting. Thank you for that. I don't think most of us knew that. That's interesting.
Simplify as much as I could. You know,
it was well done.
It took a long time to kind of understand. We have multiple TIF districts in town. So, but yeah, this is the downtown TIF, and those funds are available to be used. And it's, as our finance director says, it's cash flowing. It's not a negative. So if there's money there and it's being utilized by what the planned projects were, then let's go for it.
Santa and Mrs. Claus are going to be at Winter Park. Stop by this Friday from 5 to 7 in the Warming House lobby area. Bring an unexpired, non-perishable food donation item and get a picture with the big man himself. Big shout out to our Winter Park Aquatic Center and all the great workers over there. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a lot of fun for everybody. Go on over there, check it out. Get your picture with Santa. As long as we're in that neck of the woods, sir, I'd like to kind of stay over there at what we kind of fondly in this area in Rapids call the strip, if you will, the bar section area down there. Most of us have seen in recent months or recent years, really, that area has kind of had this gone and this gone. There's been some work being done over there. The projects that are going, are they going to extend into the kind of the section that's already there? Are we going to be building even more? Are we kind of using that area where some of the other bars used to be, now going to be different built, something different's going to go there?
Yeah, so what we refer to at the city is the triangle. So that's kind of right across from the courthouse that had buildings in that's cleared. You know, it's always been the hope that a developer would be interested in developing that area. Well, specifically maybe commercial on the lower and residential on the upper, but we just haven't had a lot of interest in that. Now with the jail project going on, trying to figure out kind of that space down there and how that can be utilized for maybe events, maybe because of the jail project. You know, there's not a lot of places. You know, you got Jennings and some other businesses downtown, a couple of them to get a meal, but, you know, there's not a lot of options there.
Yeah.
So there's hopefully something can happen there. And we also own the East Town Plaza, which is kind of right down in between a couple bars. And so we've been trying to, you know, get developers interested in that and trying to utilize that space. So they're trying. Just trying to get people wanting to get on board and go for it.
Well, I would think that, and never to speak for the city or anything, but I know I do a lot of talking with a lot of community members. I do a lot of surveying with a lot of the community and on both sides of town and different people in different places that I don't always go. So I'm getting different takes and different things. And overwhelmingly from this community, that is something that is appreciated. Attempts, trying, thinking about these things. I think that goes a long way. And it also gets people themselves, community members, thinking. You guys could have ideas out there. You guys might have the perfect idea right there in that brain of yours, and you know, you just need to share it. That's important. There are no bad ideas when it comes to something like this. We can throw everything at the wall, see what sticks.
And we need that. We know, and we're not desperate, but we'd really like to see that area developed, and that's why it was kind of purchased throughout our last decade here. And you know, the goal is that we'd have one complete parcel that somebody could utilize. And so it just takes that right developer coming to town and say, aha, that's it, you know. And But that's a wait and see game. And it's Kyle Kearns, our community development director. I know I was part of a developers tour that was put on by Synergy out of Wausau. It was Marshfield and Wisconsin Rapids. One day the developers were in Marshfield, the next day they were here. And you know, and we specifically took that group downtown and showed them different locations and discussed with them some downtown things. So yeah, we're trying to get some interest in that.
We'll give you information at the end of the segment here of how you can reach the staff, the mayor's staff, and with ideas or any of these thoughts that you might have. The city recently awarded its 5-year shared ride taxi service to Running Inc. I wanted to touch on that with you, sir. First, yes. For those that may not know, what is the shared ride program, and what can you tell us about Running Inc.?
Yeah, I think it's very important that we discuss this since it is kind of a hot topic right now. And so we apply every 5 years for a mass transit grant through the state and federal government so we can provide low-cost taxi options or transit options. We don't have any other buses or rail here, so ours is utilized for taxi services. And so what happens is we request bids from people. We receive 2 bids, and ultimately through a scoring process, Running Inc. was awarded that bid. And so there's been some up arms, you know, like, hey, why don't we just approve our previous provider and deny this one? And the problem is once you go through that process, it's a state process. Mm-hmm. It's all very specifically outlined. The procedures by the state is not something that we get to decide. And so what it comes once that process happens and a contractor or a provider is chosen, it comes down to, A, you pick that provider or you don't offer a service. Mm. There's not any second option or, you know, we can just do this one instead. Mm. It's this or nothing. And so we get almost $900,000 to provide this. So it's very much a reduced service, cab fee service for mm-hmm. for the utilizers of that. And it's very important in our community. So once it comes, like last night, it had to be approved. Otherwise, you can give all that money back to the state and federal government, and we provide no taxi cab service other than any private service that wants to run a service at whatever rate they charge. And so it would have been a huge disservice to the community not having that service provided, especially all the people I talk to and the people that rely on that service to get to work or grocery shopping and appointments that can't drive.
And I know younger people that use the service, but specifically our older population, it takes a lot of use of that service. Yep. We owe it to them. We owe it to our community members to have this service. And in your position, you and your staff, this is what you're there for, to make these decisions, to do these things. We're thankful that the ball wasn't dropped. Right. You know, to me, that's where my focus goes. Who is awarded it, and that is a whole other category and stuff. And it to me, I feel like that's been answered with the numbering system that you mentioned there and everything. So to me, just having this and knowing that we do have it still, that's the key takeaway to me.
Yeah, and yes, about Running Inc. They have over 30 communities they represent or provide this service to. They employ over 600 people within their organization through the state of Wisconsin. So they are definitely experienced, and they've been through transitions before. I've received phone calls, you know, apparently we're running short on phone numbers here. So they're working through to try to get a phone number here. They've hired over 20 people, and most of them, I believe, are from the existing service. So they should be recognizing some familiar faces. Mm-hmm. And people ask about the fares, and currently the fares are going to remain the same. Mm. So it's not like they're coming in to increase the fares and do all those things. Because really the city, I guess, controls those fares.
Interesting.
And so it should be, you know, aside from just trying to get used to a new company coming in, they also are going to offer, like, you can go online and reserve cab times that way. Mm. That's something new that that the area hasn't seen before. And so there's going to be some new options, and so a little more increase in technology for the people that utilize technology. You can reserve cabs in advance online. And then also they're expanding the wheelchair van program. So because before, I know people had contacted me about, you know, they had troubles or they couldn't get mm-hmm. a cab. So they're expanding that to make sure that they have more wheelchair van accessible to take people bound by wheelchairs to their appointments and not being denied. So we'll be seeing some changes coming up here, but the transition in, you know, December to January here, you know, there might be a couple of bumps and bruises, but and I think right now it seems like talking to the owner is that it's the phone, you know, trying to get the phone number and making sure people have it. And they might, they're looking at maybe a call forwarding option, they're looking at a couple different options to get us to that point, but but there will be a phone number and fares are going to remain the same.
I really appreciate that. Really important information. Thank you for that, sir. Thank you for the work you and your team are doing on this one. And we're looking forward to getting to know Running Inc. And that, it's great to have a company like that in town. Everything I've read about them, they are one of these places. They go into a town, they put into that town. They put their money where their mouth is and everything.
They also want to be involved in town, whether it be through donations, through other things. They want to be a part of the community like they are in many other communities.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see more about them and what develops from that.
So am I.
As a side note, and this isn't so much a local one. This is more me asking you as friends. And I really am curious about, I think this is one of the bigger topics going forward in the state of Wisconsin, the idea of Amtrak up and down the state and having that more accessible to people in towns like ours and Wausau and areas like that. I think it's, when we were kids, it was, well, this would be really interesting. That'd be kind of cool. Now as an adult, it's just a matter of time. I don't believe, you can go ahead and throw this back in my face 20 years from now if it doesn't happen, but I believe in the next 20 years or so, this is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. Do you see the same thing? Because I feel like it's just, it's got to happen.
I agree, and I think the more, even piggybacking on the taxi cab, there's people out there that we used to have a bus service that stopped here in town that would run to Madison, some places now. I believe you have to go to Point because it's no longer, and so looking into that, that was something outside the city's control, but I think people for making those day trips and those type of things would benefit having rail service available to do that, since they can't drive or don't want to drive in a bigger city. And I do believe it's going to be kind of a thing that's growing. My nephew lives outside of Chicago, and in his town, he can hop a train and take it downtown Chicago for work, and that's what he does, you know, and they don't have to drive and deal with traffic and cars. And
That's how cities are made. As a city kid, I'll tell you, when I was living in, I was living in DeKalb, which is about 2 hours away from Chicago, but I was working in Chicago and I was never late for work. I was always on time. I always had, there was plenty of, it was nothing to do that, to drive up to Geneva, take the Amtrak, take it down. It was a fun trip. And it made the city better. Like you want cities like ours to thrive and to be stronger. They don't usually, it isn't just locals that are working at these businesses. It's bringing people from out of town and then being able to accessibly get to that town.
Yeah, my nephew lives in Geneva, and that's what he
right
does.
On, hops, right on,
hops the train and heads in, you know.
Very cool.
Goes downtown.
It's a great service, and I feel like it's only a matter of time before it's up and down the state. And it's only going to make this state stronger, I think.
Absolutely.
A matter of time.
Yeah, it'll get people, you know, north and south in these locations rather quickly. You can avoid the highways and the traffic and the interstates and all those type of things, and you can just sit back and relax.
We're speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer and have our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media sitting in with us. Shane, I wanted to talk about your call for citizen appointees for the city commissions.
Yeah, you know, we're always looking. Right now we have a couple of openings on the Board of Zoning Appeals and Board of Review. You can contact our office if you want to get more information. Board of Review is more so regarding assessments. And so, you know, realtors, bankers, attorneys, those are all always good. And it's, they meet like once or twice a year. So it's not a huge commitment. Board of Zoning Appeals is where if you have a zoning issue, you can appeal to this. It's kind of a judicial group. And they have the final say unless you appeal it to circuit court. Like if you want to, if you're set back from your property lines 2 feet and you want to go 1 feet, this board will review that for you. I know when my term comes to an end here, and I've already been, Emily and I are kind of doing a sheet to get ready, pass on information to the next person to hopefully make that transition a little easier for that person, that they're going to have some boards and commission appointments that they need to make. So we're kind of getting those ready. So when that handoff happens, or as soon as that election happens, we can get that information to them to start getting going on that process. It's hard to find people, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, as mayors change, people on those boards and commissions might change because of loyalties. And you know, I found the same thing, and it's just the way it is. And and so the next mayor might need some help filling some positions, and hopefully those people on there that are coming to the end of term have enjoyed their service and want to continue, which makes it even easier.
Yeah, and getting board members, getting people to join committees, these things, one of the more important things we're looking at going forward here, because this is something that is happening in all kinds of communities across the country, getting more and more people to be involved with these. And we know that we got great citizens out there. Just need you to step up, need you to be a part of these. If people want to find out more, send them to the website, wirapids.org.
Correct. Okay. Yep, it's all out there. And then actually out there, Emily had created an application form, so you can kind of fill it out, send it in, and then we'll have that on file. But yeah, it's, you know, like I said, you can get on a board or commission that meets a couple times a year, or you can get on a board or commission that meets a couple times a month. So there's kind of everything in between. And so it's just kind of, if you've got an interest or maybe a skill set that could help out, you know, that's a good way to get involved, like you said.
Shane, I'm curious. It's been a couple months since your announcement that you would not be running for a third term. How's it going? How are things been since? The dust has settled a little bit. The town knows, you know, people who didn't hear know by now. How has it been, the feedback, and how have you been doing?
Yeah, it's been good. You know, it's kind of surreal.
Yeah.
It's coming to an end, and it's coming to an end by my choice. But you know, I'm not going anywhere, and so I plan to be in the community and hopefully stay involved and be able to be a part of the community. You know, I have people trying to talk me out of it and want me to run, but I have officially filed my non-candidacy papers the other day. There's a candidate running that I plan on supporting and have been supporting, and I'm going to continue going that path. And yeah, but it has, for myself, I hate to say it, but I kind of feel useless because, you know, we kind of quack at each other. I'm the lame duck, you know.
Yeah, so it's not
like, what are you going to do? You're not going to start a big project other than maybe this bridge lighting. And if we get her done, we get it done. But if not, I'll probably support the next mayor that hopefully can get across the finish line. But it's a project that I think is worthwhile. But yeah, otherwise, I'm just kind of showing up, and I still return my phone calls and I answer my emails and meet with people and, you know, still working with staff. We've got a budget that we're starting January 1 that, you know, I have to keep that on task until April 15th, my last day. And so, yeah, but it's kind of it's a strange feeling because I'm always used to working and doing something all my life, and now I'm just kind of got these 4 months where I'm just kind of in limbo.
You've earned that, though. You've earned that. You put so much work. I would say in the 2 terms that you've done 4 terms worth of work, and you've had 4 terms worth of experiences with a pandemic and some other stuff thrown in there.
Closing, and there's been some big things going on that, but...
Before I go too far into this topic, I did hear from listeners a couple of times because they love our interviews, and I really appreciate the listeners' feedback on these things. I did hear from a couple people, I don't bring up the mill enough. I don't bring it up, but there's no new news. There's nothing to tell there, right?
Yeah, we've met with the president of Billy Roots North America. We've done Zoom calls with them. They've been marketing it. There was somebody interested, but not maybe to run it as a mill. And so, but we haven't heard anything more on that. I have a lot of contacts over there, and I hear from people, they'll message me like, oh, they're putting together pallets for auctions over there. But I can never confirm any of that. And unfortunately, you know, we'd like to see a lot happen, and we're doing what we can to push, but ultimately it's up to the owner of what they want to do with the property. And it seems like, unfortunately, they're content with leaving it as is at this point, which doesn't make sense to me. But
they also don't want to talk to us. I've tried a couple of times to reach out and get them on the air with me because I got questions, and I think the city does, but they don't want to take those. And so the ball is in their court, as it has been for like a couple of years now. It's been this way. So if I don't bring it up, I've got a very limited amount of time with the mayor. I don't want to waste our time. I don't want to waste the listeners' time. If there's new news, we're going to be hitting out of the course.
Absolutely.
But there just wasn't much there.
I sometimes feel like they bought 2 mills and they got the third one for free, you know,
and
that's really the sad part about how it seems to play out to me. But yeah, just the lack of Yeah. I don't understand. I just don't understand.
I hear you. It's how not to run a business, it seems like. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, but I keep thinking when you're that big of a company worldwide that, you know, as we were once referred at a sale was we were the minor asset in Wisconsin Rapids, you know, even though we're the largest mill in Wisconsin and, you know, we consume the most timber and produce the most paper. And I don't know. It's such a big company that is.
I wonder how much they even know what's going on the other side of the building kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're so focused on, they're redoing the mills up in Escanaba and Quinnesec, and, they're converting one of them in the process. And so I think they seem to be focused on that, and here we sit.
I'm looking forward to next month already. I do want to wish you and yours a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We're looking forward to talking more next year, and I want to talk more about some of the candidates and some of the things coming up. So big thank you again, Shane. Have a great holiday.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and you also to your family and everybody around here and to our friends at Community Media.
Yes, our friends at Community Media. Have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to all you guys, and thank you so much for the work you all do. Appreciate you.
Go easy on eggnog.
Yes. And have a safe and Merry Christmas, everybody. Shane, thanks again for the time.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.